Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to a very special edition of The Tipping Point. Now, you're probably waiting for the sounds of Willy Wonka, and you will hear that in just a bit. But this is a special best of episode. Right now, though, live on the air is me, Stephen Platinum, and Larry Goodman. Larry, how are you doing tonight?
Doing just fine, sir.
Well, what we didn't want to do, I think Larry will back me up on this, is we didn't want to do like a slapdash show. Our scheduled guest, Joel Goodhart, has been very elusive. And instead of just kind of getting somebody at the last second and whatnot, we thought, you know, we've been talking about doing a best of Tipping Point episode that would feature a lot of the comedy stuff that we've done. And just, Larry, can you believe that it's been almost an hour's worth of material that we've had between the Eric Embry movie reviews and the commercials and the stand-up comedy stuff? So we have almost an hour of goodness for you coming up. But Larry, tell me about your weekend. You decided to go to the, was it officially a Southern Fried wrestling show that you went to in Barnesville?
It was officially a Southern Fried. I think also you could say Southern Fine and LG Promotions, co-promotion would also be a fair statement. And, you know, I clearly made a lot more friends with the Southern Fried Championship Wrestling Fan Club. They just really loved my review of the show. I mean, wow, they really loved it. But, you know, I think... very successful show for the first time out in the town as far as drawing 300 people. You know, as far as financially and promoting success, I think they did really well. And
yes,
go ahead.
No. I was going to say, yeah, they drew 300. I mean, that's the pros, right? You had Rick Michaels booking the show. He kept it to a reasonable length, right? It's five matches. I mean,
yeah.
I counted up the minutes of actual wrestling on that card. What would your guess? What is your guess on how long that was, Larry?
Well, I counted two, and I think it was what 28 or 29 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. Reminiscent of TNA in its worst days. But
yeah. So
again, that the old cliche that crowd left happy. That crowd, I mean, it's not a very, you described it, I thought you did, I think that was one of your most fair reviews ever, truth be told. You were very gracious about, you know, the crowd, you would always acknowledge what you thought and then how the crowd reacted, which were often two very different things, and you fully acknowledged that.
Absolutely. I think for the people they drew, they gave them the right show. And I think they'll do well when they come back. So, you know, my hat's off to those two, Southern Fried and Luke Gallows on the show they put together. And I'm really interested coming back next month with Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett in Barnesville. Should be most interesting to see how that plays out.
Indeed. I can't help but feel like it's if there is can be such a thing, it's sort of the new version of the Cedarville Perks shows where – I think they're appealing to a certain kind of crowd. I think they're gonna draw based on, you know, the two or three names that they splash on the poster. They're not gonna have matches announced in advance, and you know the local element is gonna be played down. I mean, the only match that they had announced for the next show that they set up was a rematch between Southside Trash and Trinity. Is that correct?
Yeah, which they didn't exactly say was going to happen there in Barnesville. They just said we would see it somewhere. I thought it was interesting that Chris Nelms himself said the match sucked. Which, I mean, it didn't. You know, I just want to be, you know, crystal clear that, you know, artistically, was it a really good show? No, I don't think so. But does that matter when it comes to making money? No, that's why I talked about Mark Houchin, Mean Mark Anthony show in Sparta, where, I mean, he has the exact same philosophy. He just lists the stars and throws the matches together on the night of the show, and people come to see the stars, and he makes money every time he runs.
Yes. Well, on the exact opposite tangent, I was at Anarchy Wrestling, and it was a lot of me. I was I was all over that, and it was a great experience for me, for many of the fans, including you know who, that ended up showing up in force, of course. The interesting thing that I found was normally at Anarchy, after a big show, which the last one was, normally you have a big drop, but I mean, you'll see it when the show comes out. I mean, the bleachers were full completely. So
well,
it looked great, you know.
I will take it further than that. The been going there since 1999. There has never been a TV taping following a major show that drew the same as the major show. It has never happened until last Saturday night.
Well, I mean, I would love to take credit for that, but in reality, I think there's a spirit at Anarchy that perhaps hasn't been there in a long time.
Yeah,
reactions,
I agree.
The reactions to me and the reactions to Jerry Palmer in particular, I think show that. I mean, somebody said it to me in the back, and it's simply, what do you expect? You're the genuine article. You're a heel. You know, unapologetically, unabashedly, getting to do it my way, and it was phenomenal. I mean, if you had told me when I would go to the Wildside shows and get a big case of wrestling envy going to those Wildside shows, if you had told me that I was going to be in that ring, getting to do my thing and to watch my guys and girl really do their stuff too, I would have never believed it. And it really was a fantastic evening all around. And, you know, just more to come on both fronts. Southern Fried's certainly not going anywhere. Neither is Anarchy. So we're just going to have to see how it all plays out. PCW has a big show this Saturday, in that it is a team led by the Carpenter against a team led by PCW champion Shane Marks. So we'll finally get to see them possibly lock it up and see where it goes from there. It's kind of the age of the Carpenter right now. And we'll just have to see how it plays out. It's kind of the biggest main event that we've had in a very long time as far as the number of participants and the possible consequences and the outcome. So that's definitely going to be interesting to play out. Well, Larry, where do you think you're going to go this weekend? Do you have any idea?
Leaning towards Peach State. We shall see.
Mm-hmm. What's Peach State got going on?
You know, I haven't even looked at the card yet. I don't even know.
I'll be curious to see what Peach State does. They've been suffering crowd-wise a little bit, but if I know old Rick Michaels, I think it's an interesting question to ask, and maybe we'll tackle that next week. Is Rick Michaels stretching himself too thin? I mean, that show on May 9th, the return to Barnesville, is Rick Michaels going to be at that show as well? And if so, does that mean NWA Atlanta? I mean, what does that mean? Is he only going to be there for one show a month now? It's interesting.
Well, you know, this last Saturday he left things in good hands with Jimmy Rave,
yeah,
being the guy on the scene running the show for him. But that also remains to be seen. Just quickly looking at next Saturday for Peach State, Tyson Dean mm-hmm. defends against the aforementioned Jimmy Rave, and Midgets Masquerita Sagrada takes on Octagonacito in Mexican Minis action.
Really?
Yes.
That is exciting. I mean, I can't remember, you know, outside of some basically midget exclusive shows, that really hasn't been a thing, has it, lately? I mean, leave it up to Shane Knowles and Rick Michaels to think of a new wrinkle, right?
Yeah, bringing in legit luchador minis.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, that alone, I mean, I would be there in spite of my intense fear of midget wrestlers thanks to my storied career getting my rear end kicked by them for over a year. Well, Larry, we got a best of coming up.
Yep.
For those of you, I mean, we get a lot of messages when it's usually when somebody misses a show and they go like, "What's the comedy stuff you guys did?" That's kind of the number one thing that we get asked about. And, you know, the Eric Embry movie reviews and all that stuff. Some people might be a little late to the dance. And even though you can download any of the podcasts, of course, that we've done, I'm not sure that people have. So here's your chance, all in one spot. Every commercial, every wrestler trying to impress Mick Foley with their jokes, every Eric Embry movie review and all the other craziness that we've done, including those Mr. T holiday memories, are coming at you right now here on the Tipping Point. Is there anything you wanted to say, Larry, to close us out before we run it?
We'll see you next
week. Oh. See you next week. See you next week on the Tipping Point.
Good man is out of time.
Which direction we are going?
Narek the El Camino. Would have been DWI.
We have reached a tipping point.
Reached the voicemail box of
the father of four, Mick Foley.
Please leave your best joke at the sound of the bang.
You know, brother, a lot of people want to ask why the chicken crossed the road. Funny thing about that chicken, you know, he's descended from greatness. He was once a dinosaur that roamed this earth, terrorizing everything. But you know, no matter how big and bad you are, all it takes is an act of God, and all of a sudden, you're gone. You're wiped out. Now, what you need to ask yourself is, if people follow me, people worship me, does that not make me a God? And if it does, then all it takes is one act, and you are done. So when you're asking why it crossed the road, all I can say is it's following the buzzards to the other side.
You have no messages.
One, two, three.
Son, I was born ready. It's that old Eric Embry for Exotic Eric's Movie Review of the Week. Hey, Mr. Platinum, how are you, sir? Mr. Goodman, Miss Rachel, thank you all for having me on the show.
Thank you for being on the show.
Shucks, lady, come on. All right, well, let's just get on right to it, okay? Okay. Now, this week's movie here is called Into the Dang Woods, all right? All right. Now, I'm going to tell you straight. I do not like this type of movie normally. I don't like people to start singing for no apparent reason unless their name is this old ring rat named Trudy, okay? And she likes plays. And let me tell you something, brother. She can suck a golf club through a garden hose, all right? You know what I mean. Okay, so I call up Trudy and I say, hey, they got a movie at the theater right now. It's like a play. So we load up in the Honda CRX and we're gone, daddy gone. Okay. So they start this sumbitch out. And you got this old Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk. And his mother says, kayfabe, brother, this cow don't give no milk. But what I want you to do is go in town, brother, and go sell him for $5. He gonna go sell a cow for $5. That's a Jerry Jarrett payout right there, brother. Anyway, Now, this old Jack, he goes into the woods, brother, and that's the name of the movie, Into the Woods. He goes into the woods. There's all sorts of fairy tales in the woods. You got the baker and his wife, and they got heat with this old witch, and she wants to get them to get some cow, and she's got heat with Red Riding Hood, and she wants her mask or whatever, and you got a bunch of other stuff, and there's all sorts of fairy tale people flying around in this woods, okay? And I'm starting to get confused like a son bitch because there's too many dang angles going on, okay? Okay. But listen, man. Okay, what happens? Nobody's smart enough to the magic beans. He throws the magic beans out. There go a magic beanstalk, brother. And who comes down but Andre the Dang Giant, man? Okay, and Lance Russell is like, he don't even work in this territory, man. And everybody's like, what's gonna happen at Midtown Coliseum on Monday night? Well, brother, let me tell you what happens next. Two princes show up, brother. Prince Charming and this other blonde guy. I'm talking blowjobs, white meat blowjobs, brother. Okay. And this crowd pops huge, man. I'm talking like Punky making a hot tag to Hoot after 30 minutes of heat, brother, like we used to work it when you get heat for 30 dang minutes. And these some bitches is selling, man. Agony! They're singing it, brother, man. And, oh, this roof is just coming off the place, okay? And they singing them songs. Now, listen, was it the Allman Brothers? No. Was it Bad Street USA? No. Brother, I'm going to tell you, pretty dang good. Okay, next thing you know, dang smiles. Everybody, fairy tales going everywhere. Big battle royal, brother. I'm talking concession stand brawl. Jerry Lawler hitting three little pigs with a can of Hellman's, man. I mean, going at it. People singing, children will listen. Man, roof coming off it. We sold the place. We popped the dang territory. Okay, now listen, you're asking me, Eric, man, was the movie any good? Well, I'm going to tell you, brother, some movies you don't go see for yourself. Some movies you go see because your old lady wants to see them. Some movies you go see because you got a rat who likes movies like that. So, brother, was the movie good? Well, I'll put it to you this way. On the way home from that movie, Trudy starts working my gimmick like an Atari controller, brother. Like she's playing Miss Pac-Man and trying to put in the dang Contra code. Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, brother. So I'm going to tell you, was the movie good, brother? Was it worth it, man? Jerry Lawler, you took your best shot, man. You took your best shot and it didn't work, man. So what are you going to do now, man? You got to face me, Jerry Lawler. So I'm going to give this movie here 3 illegal Memphis pile drivers and a fireball. Thank you very much.
It's Exotic Eric's movie review of the week.
1, 2, 3.
Arbor Day, Bastille Day, Boxing Day, Remembrance Day, Canadian Thanksgiving.
It is now time for Holiday Memories with Mr. T.
Shut up, fool. It's Mr. T's time to talk about his favorite holiday memories. The calendar has turned to February, and with it, images of angels and hearts and arrows and Valentines. And Mr. T has only ever had one true Valentine in his life, and that was my mother. I never had the time to spend with my mother on Valentine's Day like I would choose because my mother worked so hard to take care of us and put food on the table. I remember Valentine's, 1993. My mother, she was working at a White Castle high in the Rocky Mountains. And one night, Holly Race and Big Van Vader, they came into the White Castle and they challenged my mother to a strap match, Vader style. Hornswoggle was there. He rallied all of the other White Castle employees together, and they chanted against my mother. Vader, 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 they cried. But my mother did not blink. She did not fret, because as her hair rose golden from her head, just like the flames on the grill did, my mother put the strap around her wrist, and she pulled, and she pulled, and she pulled, and the weight of Van Vader was not enough to bring my mother down, and the strap broke in two. My mother was not scared by Holly Race's permanent. My mother was not intimidated by a white man named Leon. My mother was strong, and that is Mr. T's favorite Valentine's Day memory. Thank you. Join me again for St. Patrick's Day.
1, 2, 3.
You have reached the voicemail box of
the father of four, Mick Foley.
Please leave your best joke at the sound of the bang.
What's the difference between a porcupine and China in a room with any member of D Generation X? Will Undertaker tell me the difference? On a porcupine, the pricks are on the outside. Hey, yo, Snake. I got a joke for you, man. Well, I think that's beautiful, man. I think it's beautiful, Scott, that you've stuck with your recovery and you're ready. Man, don't just keep talking, man. I'm going to tell the joke. So, do you know the difference between Dolph Ziggler and the 2.5 Men series? That's good, brother. You're keeping it topical, man. And that's just beautiful. It's beautiful when you keep things relevant to the modern. Man, just answer. Do you know the difference between Dolph Ziggler and the 2.5 Men series? No, man. I can't say that I do. Well, one of them's over, and the other's Dolph Ziggler. Oh, man. That's kind of fucked up.
You have no messages.
1, 2, 3!
It's Exotic Eric's movie review of the week.
Hey, brother. Can you hear me? Am I on? Hello, hey brother. Hey,
we can hear
you. Eric Embry, everybody.
Hey
y'all, this is that old Eric Embry, pro wrestler and movie file for the Flamboyant Ones movie of the week. How y'all doing? All right? It's sounding good. Liking being on the show, man. Liking it.
Well, Eric, we certainly appreciate having a legend like you on. What are you reviewing for us today, man?
All right, man, let's just get right on it, okay? Hey, man, listen, okay? The movie of the week, okay, is The Interview, and that's got fat old boy who got skinny and then he got fat again, and that other guy who I guess he was rock climbing and got his rock stuck on his hand and had to kayfabe cut it off. I think he was also the Green Goblin's son. I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, so The Interview, right? So, okay, now let me tell you straight, man. I was not going to watch this movie, man, okay? Somebody had given me a VHS copy, and I was going to record over it, but then someone smartened me up on it, and they said, hey, brother, listen, this is that old movie that Tojo Yamamoto don't want you to see, brother. Well, I tell you, man, I popped it right in the VCR, okay? Well, okay, now I'm barely past that one thing where they say, you know, it's a crime to be a pirate or whatever. And the front door got busted open, brother. And who was it but that old Tojo Yamamoto himself and Skandar Akbar and Killer Khan? Well, brother, they commenced to bin on me, okay? You know what I mean, brother? Putting the boots to me. Next thing you know, I'm getting color, brother, because you got to get that red to get that green, you know what I mean? So I'm reaching out, and I'm trying to get the fans behind me, you know? Eric, you know? Okay, now listen. Now, then who appears from the kitchen? But, hey, that old Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Lawler himself. Now, brother, that place blew sky high. I mean, the roof came off, and we're bumping them old boys. And we got the right and left. The king, Jerry. And, you know, long story short, brother, we popped the territory. Blew it sky high, okay? That's what I'm telling you happened. Overall, I will give this movie 2 steel chairs and a ring post, brother. You know, if you ain't doing nothing else, it's all right, I guess. Hey, that's my review. That's the Flamboyant One Exotic Movie Review of the Week, The Interview. And I'm available for bookings. I just wanted to throw that out there. But, hey, I'm available for bookings.
1, 2, 3!
Welcome to the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling. You know, many people believe that backstage vignettes started in the 1980s, when actually, the opposite is true. Take this week's example, for example. This comes from 1937, from Ontario, British Columbia, Canada. Stu Hart talks with Tugboat, Steve Watson, in a sketch you may find familiar. Also, take a listen to Tugboat's voice and see if you can see an influence from today on Golden Age of Professional Wrestling.
Hey there, Steve. Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, brother, what's going on, man?
Hey, listen, you know, there's a lot of guys out there in the car tonight.
Yeah, brother.
And they got a lot of strange names.
Oh, like what, brother? Be the last.
Well, I'll tell you. Let's see. Got Jerking the Curtain. We got Who is Jerking the Curtain. And up second, What? What's going on second?
What?
And I don't know who's in the main event.
Hey, wait a minute, man. Now, what I said
who's
again?
Who's jerking the curtain? What's on second? And I don't know who's in the main event.
Now, wait a minute, man. You running this territory? You run this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're booking it?
I should.
Yeah, you're booking it. You know
what? Yes.
What? I know Phil's name. Who?
Who?
Now, who?
Who?
Yeah, now who's going on? Who's jerking the curtain, man?
Jerking the curtain.
Who?
Yeah, that's the man's name.
No, I'm saying who's the man who's jerking the curtain, man? Working me? Who am I working? Brother?
Coming up, second is what?
What?
No, what is going on second?
What? Who? What? Now, what? No. Damn,
who's
son!
Who's jerking the curtain?
No, who? Wait, what?
Don't try to change the card around, okay?
Well, I'm asking you, who am I working, man? No. I'm in the main event.
Take
who am I working,
easy, brother?
Well, I'm just asking you a simple damn question. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
What is wrestling second?
Am I wrestling? Who am I wrestling? Am I wrestling what?
I think you can see where that sketch was going to go. Nevertheless, we'll play the rest of it after these messages from the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling.
Day, Bastille Day, Boxing Day, Remembrance Day, Canadian Thanksgiving.
It is now time for Holiday Memories with Mr. T.
What up, fool? This is Mr. T's time to talk about his favorite holiday memories. President's Day is when America honors all its great leaders of the past. What the greatest leader in the history of the World Wrestling Federation was my mother. My mother was president for many years, and she ruled justly and fairly, and she never put her hands on a wrestling man. My mother always made sure the title was defended within 30 days. And my mother stood strong, stood tall, with her suit sharp, with her jaw cut of granite. But my mother was pushed too far one day in 1991. She was trying to have a conversation with Brother Love. Bad News Brown shows up saying that she had had lewd and lascivious contact with Miss Elizabeth. This was taking it too far for my mother. My mother looked at Bad News Brown in his eye and said, "You may look like TC, but that does not make you awesome. Comb your beard." And she pushed him right in his chest. And that is why my mother was the greatest president that ever walked in the World Wrestling Federation.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
You have reached the voicemail box of
the father of four, Mick Foley.
Please leave your best joke at the sound of the bang.
So there's three guys. There's an Englishman. There's a Frenchman. And there's an Irishman. There are three flies buzzing around overhead. And each one of those flies falls into the beers sitting in front of those three guys. So first the Englishman pushes the beer away, saying, "I won't drink it, it's dirty." Then the Frenchman takes his fingers, plucks out the fly, and throws it away, and finishes his beer anyway. But finally, the Irishman, he looks down in his beer, and he takes out the fly and starts smacking it on the back and says, "Spit it out, you bastard! Spit it out!"
It's Gary Hart calling in to tell a joke. How many Von Erichs does it take to screw in a light bulb? It only takes one, but Fritz is gonna shove four more down our throats. That's a joke, my friend. The great Mutsa, the Pearl of the Orient, told me, and I laughed very hard.
It's Exotic Eric's Movie Review of the Week. All right, welcome to Exotic Eric's Movie Review of the Week. This is that old Eric Embry, pro wrestler and cinemaphile. Thank y'all for having me on. Now, this week we're going to take a look at 50 Shades of Grey. Now, I hang out with this old Mexican lady named Esmeralda, and she's been telling me forever that I need to read this book. I tried reading her copy of it, but it's in Spanish, so all I understood was when they went to the beach in the library. Okay, flash forward, and Esmeralda says they made a movie out of it, and she says there's a ton of sex, and that's my kind of movie, so off we go. Now, I can tell something is wrong right away. First of all, the picture's real clear. No soft focus, no stock footage of Miami, nothing. Second of all, the people's names in the credits aren't plays on words like Penny T. Ration and Clint Torres, okay? Instead, it's just a bunch of old boring Jewish names. Lastly, there's a bunch of jabronis in the theater, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this may not be a porno after all. Okay, so this one old gal has an interview set up with this rich dude. Now, she can't go, so she hot tags in her friend, the daughter of George the Animal Steele, Anastasia Steele. Now, she rides the elevator up, and the music in that old elevator is saying, "Money, money, 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 meow." Now, okay, now, she gets up there, and this old Christian Grey, he's got that $1 million belt, and he's giving her the "I'm gonna do you" eyes, but she's all like, "No, I can't, because I'm plain." And you know she's plain, because she's got her hair in a ponytail. Now, Christian, he's always training and running through the streets when it's raining with his hoodie on like Little Mac and Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and I'm thinking he's going to give this old gal a TKO from Tokyo. Now, Anastasia, she got more jobs than a Jamaican. Now, she's in school, she's doing this reporter thing, later on she's at a photo shoot, but old Christian, he catches up with her at her other job, the hardware store. Now, he says, "Hey, listen, I got a piece of hardware for you." Okay, he don't say that, but it would have been good if he did and then banged her right there on the Black & Decker display, but instead we're still waiting for some sex to happen. So they hit it off, and she calls him drunk one night. And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. But you know what? Instead, they get in this conversation about signing contracts, and that goes on and on and on. And I'm thinking, man, contract signing may be making the accountants in the audience hot and bothered, but Exotic Eric, is when he's hungry, you know, brother, he likes to eat at the In-N-Out Burger, okay, if you know what I mean. I think you do. Now, finally, we get down to it, and Christian Grey says, kayfabe, brother, I can't have sex the normal way. I need gimmicks. I need my Indian strap match. I need the Russian chain. I need the coal miner's glove. And Anastasia says, well, maybe. Now, most guys would have banged this old rat and then sent her packing with a signed 8x10 from the gimmick table, talking about, see you next time I'm in Dothan, but not old Christian. He takes her up in a plane ride, and he says, hey, let me turn on this old radio, and you know what's on? Money, money, money. Man, we got it. You're rich, okay? Now, finally, they get it on, okay? It's good. I seem better, but it's good. In the blow-off, he commences to whipping on her like Jerry Lawler on Andy Kaufman, man, talking about, you recognize this, Jerry Lawler? It's a bar of soap. Overall, man, I liked it. It shows the struggles that rich, good-looking, sophisticated guys like us go through when we're trying to get some strange. Plus, that old theater was cram-packed with middle-aged women that were ready to work that old gimmick stick like a claw game at the bowling alley. So, hey, man, it all worked out for me. I give this movie 3 shots from a Singapore cane, but kayfabe, brother, lovingly given. This is our old Eric Embry with a movie review of the week. I'm available for bookings and also behind the movie Cinemaplex. You keep the dirty side down, brother.
You have reached the voicemail box of
the father of four, Mick Foley.
Please leave your best joke at the sound of the bang.
Hey, everybody. It's me, America's sweetheart, China. And it's funny, America's sweet, but my name's China. Anyway, guys, I would like to tell a joke. And hopefully, I will get the job as Mick Foley's opening act, okay? So, I am a star. I'm a star for Vivid Pictures. And everybody knows me, so... But sometimes I get lonely, and I have a mating call. Do you know what it is? It's, I'm drunk. But it's not the whole joke.
Yo, yo, bro. Kamala here. And my joke is this. Why would Pat Patterson never rent a Volkswagen Beetle? That's because they keep the trunk in the front.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, walk into a bar. The bartender says, hey, what do you have? And I say, I don't know, but I got it from Sonny.
Okay. Now, earlier, before I got reconstructive surgery, for my confidence, no other reason, but I had my jaw kind of shaved down and other things done. Back then, I had a different mating call. Do you know what it was? I said, I'm drunk. I loved you, Eddie.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to the golden age of professional wrestling. Hello again, and welcome to the golden age. This week, we take a look back, setting the way back machines to February 1986, Charlotte, North Carolina. Then NWA heavyweight champion Nature Boy Ric Flair found himself embroiled in a feud with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. This feud proved so intense but it led to a series of prank phone calls between the two. This week, we have audio of one of those phone calls. Only on the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling.
You reached the answering machine on the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Now then, I'm not able to come to the phone right now. I'm away riding in a limousine or maybe a jet airplane. But if you leave your name and your number at the sound of the woo, I'll get right back to you. Woo!
Ric Flair, that's a mighty fine answering machine. Now then, sitting there in my home, convalescing from an injury, there's a knock at the door. There's a knock at the American Dream's door. Now then, I answer the door. Who is standing there, Ric Flair, but a pizza delivery man? Standing there with six pizzas, Ric Flair. Ordering pizzas to my house, Ric Flair. No party at my house. No respect. That's putting hard times on Dusty Rose. I want to eat those pizzas, Ric Flair. Hard times is when you're sitting at home, minding your own business. And a pizza boy comes and he says, I got six pizzas for your American Dream. How you gonna pay for them? Out of work. That's hard times. Ric Flair, the last thing I needed was six pizzas. One top in each. One top in each, Ric Flair. You know I'm a everything. I'm a supreme man. That's hard times. Ric Flair, vengeance will be mine. I will come for you. I will eat these pizzas. I will not enjoy them, Ric Flair. I may not look like the athlete of the day when I do, but brother, I'm gonna come get you. Bank on that. This pizza's good.
Now that's some real hatred. Next week, we'll examine audio as Tully Blanchard calls Magnum TA to ask if his refrigerator is running on the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling.
Day, Boxing Day, Bastille Day, Remembrance Day, Canadian Thanksgiving.
It's now time for Holiday Memories with Mr. T.
Dear Hoot, Salenta, top of the morning to you. This is the time of year when all the world is green. Not the kind of green that makes Mr. T worry about his carbon footprint, but green, like my mother's beautiful Irish eyes. This is the time of the year when the world comes together to celebrate my mother as she ran the snakes from Ireland.
Well, I think that's beautiful, man. And that's just beautiful. It's beautiful when you...
Shut up, fool! What you have done to my mother over the years is criminal. You have been a fang in the sides of the T family for decades. First, you attack my mother and she's about to win the battle royal, and you scare her off with that awful snake. And next, you ruin my mother's wedding. You are a man who uses sinks and trash cans as toilets. You are a man who made karate pants look bad. And what you told at my mother's funeral was unconscionable. And they put you in the Hall of Fame? Don't get this sucker no statue. I don't want to hear about your yogurt, because you can't yogurt nothing. Mr. T has plenty of cultures in his diet. March 1986, that is when you made your debut in the World Wrestling Federation. And that is why, from this day forward, Mr. T will never celebrate St. Patrick's Day again.
This has been Holiday Memories with Mr. T.
One, two, three!
I stand here before God and my Father in Heaven tonight,
as I said, I would have another birthday this year. And in tradition of all the other greats whose birthday we honor, MLK, the Jesus Christ, the Abraham Lincolns, I accept this birthday cake. Wait a second. Oh, the fat man himself, Elvis Presley. This is it tonight, Dad. God, this cake is beautiful. And Santa Claus, and they can all kiss my ass. Because I'm not the man who accepts a birthday candle to be handed down to me from a tradition that died R.A.P. back when I was 7 years old and had a birthday party at the McDonald's Playland. That's the last time a cake like this had some meaning to it. But tonight, I clear myself as the new extreme birthday boy.
Birthday to the ground! I threw the rest of the cake to...
1, 2, 3!
Warriors, are you searching through the heavens for a good deal on a transportation device? Then create yourself over to Ultimate Warrior Used Cars. You need not credit. You need not a down payment. Every man stands by himself. Attach yourself to the outer structure of the Ultimate Warrior Used Cars. The most powerful force in used cars. The desire to buy and sell, the pinnacle of vehicles, not to repair, but to sell, not to drive, but to teleport. Black hole sun destruction devices, we got them! Hulk, cost only the power that illuminates from the souls of those left unpossessed! Sky chariot to places better left unsaid, we got them! Hulk, okay. Only 400 billion little warriors. 2015 Ford Festivas starting at 13,757. I must be crazy. Come see us today as we pass the savings onto those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Ultimate Warrior Used Cars, located in parts unknown, is open Monday through Armageddon, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every night.
Deals better than those I propagate to see does not exist.
Are you craving meat? Then maybe it's time you came to the Von Erich Family Steakhouse. I'm Kevin Von Erich, owner and operator of Von Erich Steaks, where we serve only the finest Texas beef, and we've got a steak for everyone's taste. Try our 32-ounce T-bone, the David, the finest, juiciest, most over steak in the place, which was destined to win the Steak World Championship but never got the chance. Or how about the Carry? The 20-ounce ribeye that's got a lot of sizzle, but not as much of the steak. On a diet, try Kevin, a 12-ounce lean cut of sirloin that comes barefooted. Maybe you're into hamburgers. How about the Heaven Needed a Hamburger, a.k.a. the Mike? Or take the ultimate meat challenge, the Fritz. 42 ounces of tough, mean, grizzled, thick, burned, nasty, mean beef. Like chewing on an old tire. Or, for the vegetarian option, the Lance, which isn't meat or Von Erich at all. At Von Erich Family Steakhouse, we've got something for everyone. So come on down and see us at the Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas. Von Erich's. Our steaks will put a claw hold on your stomach.
Thank you.
Hello, Stephen Platinum here at DSCW. On Valentine's night, I'm here with LaSisto. You have just come off the heels of the main event where you defeated Miss Rachel with a burning hammer. I have not seen a burning hammer in I don't know how long. You folded her like a tent and you pinned her. How are you feeling at this point?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm really happy about the match. It's really an honor that a promotion showcases women's wrestling in the main event, and it's actually one of the biggest draw and pre-sale that ever was, so I was told. So it's really an honor that like a female match has been given so much importance.
LaSisto, of course, I made a big deal. I was commentating tonight about that you're number 5 on the PWI Top 50 Women in the world. You've come back through so much adversity, but I want to take it in a little different direction to start off with. Who are women and men wrestlers that you're excited to see in the current day?
In the current day, well, of course, I would say there's the usual Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, and I really enjoy Dolph Ziggler. To me, Dolph Ziggler is like the new Shawn Michaels, the way he sells, the way he moves in the ring. One of my all-time favorites is Chris Jericho. I think he can make anybody look like $1 million. So every time I see Chris Jericho in the ring, I'm always like really excited about the match, because I don't remember, like, maybe it happened, but in his latest matches, I don't remember one bad match from Chris Jericho.
That's fantastic. I have a question for you. You've accomplished so much already. What's one definitive goal that you have for 2015? Something you would like to see happen? You got to wrestle in Georgia for the first time, is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct. Like, of course, like, wrestling in new states would be one thing I would really like to accomplish, but in June it will be 18 years that I've been wrestling.
Wow.
And the only thing I've never been, I was close a few times, but it never happened, is to sign or have at least one match with one of the major promotions. And the way WWE is going right now with all this NXT, and a lot of my friends just got signed, and people I've known for years, like Kevin Owens, I've known him since he's 15 years old, and seeing him, like, he's one of those that was told that he didn't have the look and everything, even if he's one of the best out there, like,
right.
I remember people saying he will never make it, never have the look, so, and I see him now as the NXT champion, and I am so proud of him, and that is something that before it's all over, I wish I could have at least one match there at NXT, because I think right now it's the best wrestling show there is. They different quality matches, whether it's women or men, or and different type of matches, whether it's technical, high flying, or, you know, any, like, very entertaining. The pace of the show is just amazing. There's no, there's no, like, dead spot. Everything is wrestling, so
everything flows nicely from one place to the next.
Yeah, exactly. So for sure, that's the one thing I never was able to accomplish that I would like to do.
That's fantastic. I love an honest answer. You know, something we talk about on Tipping Point a lot is how there's a lot of negativity in the wrestling world, where a lot of fans complain about things and say how bad this is and that is. In Tipping Point, well, one thing we've noted is in Georgia, which we focus on, that, like, the houses are up at all the promotions, that there's this excitement in the air. People are excited about watching NXT, and everybody potentially has access to watching that great show, and, like, New Japan. Like, people are getting into all of this stuff, which previously would have been seen as, you know, stuff that only the very small percentage of people would have been interested in, and being shown that that's not the case, that people want great wrestling, and they
exactly.
want great stories, and they want people who are really hungry and eager to be there.
That's something that NXT, I think, brought, because they always bring people from major, I would say, indie promotions, whether it's in Japan, like they brought in Kenta, Prince Devitt.
Yeah.
So if you're a wrestling fan and you want to, I love this guy, where did he come from? Then you go online and you search, and then you find that New Japan, and then ROH, or whether it's the Kevin Steen and El Dino, they come from IWS in Montreal, and you discover all those little promotions because of these guys that are signed, not because they have the hook, but they do have that following, and they did pay their dues. Go online and search if you want to know where they come from, and then opens up the whole world of indie wrestling. So I think maybe that's one of the reasons why I have to go up everywhere, because it helps other people discover that there is something else than what you see on TV.
Gotcha. Some of the ambient sounds you might be hearing is, you know, there's people like excitedly in the ring, and they're breaking this show down that was a big success tonight. I just love wrestling. I love everything about it. I'm not gonna take up much more of your time. I have one more question I gotta ask you. I want you, and you can take a little while to think of your answer. I want you to get on your soapbox, and I want you to talk about something in wrestling that's kind of near and dear to your heart, or something that you think needs to be changed, or just what is your cause in wrestling? What is LaFista's cause in wrestling right now that you want to talk about?
I think from the beginning, my cause, from the moment I started, I was told that wrestling was not for women. I was too fat, I was too small, I was just a girl, and I did not belong in the ring. My first match, I think, before I got to, you know, get out there, there's a bunch of wrestlers that they spat on me, they threw me water. It's like, wrestling's not for women, you're going to quit within a year. And even at home, my stepfather was telling me, you're going to quit, this is not for you, it's not for women. So it's been like a battle for me to prove that women can do it too. It's one of the main reasons why I started to do hardcore when, you know, when I was started wrestling.
Yeah.
And then I got involved with the hardcore. Because, like, oh, don't do that. You're going to break. You're going to mess up your face. You're a woman. Like, never tell me I can't do something because I'm a woman. And I always wanted to prove people wrong. And I train with the guys. I wrestle with the guys. And I want to show that women can do it, too. Like, there's some women I know that are better than some of the guys. The wrestling style might be a little different. But I'm telling you that some of the women I know are so passionate. And they want their hard worker. It's like we have to work so much harder than men to get taken seriously because they think we're just an attraction. It's just going to be hair pulling. And so it's a constant battle of proving that we can do it too. And yeah, like I fought even the Athletic Commission back in Ontario in 2000.
Really?
Because they wouldn't let me fight a guy, so I got them in front, the human rights, and I won the battle, and they closed the whole commission when it comes to wrestling, because it was unfair, and it was, like, sexist, so, like, it's something I've been fighting for all my career. Like I said, I'm going to be 18 years in the business, and I still feel that I do have to prove myself each and every time I go out there. That's funny because I was told once, I think Kevin Steen told me that I was taking it too seriously. But, and you know, no, I mean, he's right. But I feel that if I don't, people won't take me seriously.
Yeah.
And they won't see all the hard work I put in that and the passion and the heart. And I mean, this is my life. I wouldn't say this is all I have because, you know, I have 2 degrees in graphic design and there's other things, but every decision I've made in my life was wrestling related somehow, whether it was going to a school to get closer to Montreal because there was more, more promotions there or, you know, moving around and just everything has been wrestling related. It's more than a passion for me. It's been a way of life. And even when I had a stroke back in 2010, and I'm one of the lucky ones that didn't have any brain damage, but as much as people who have a stroke are going to be scared that they're not going to live, my first thought was, oh my God, I won't be able to wrestle anymore. So wrestling means that much to me. And yeah, that's my fight to prove that women can do it too, and we take it seriously, and we want to get give the best show seriously.
You know, something that reminds me of, I have a friend who's trained to be like a counter-terrorist unit in Israel.
Oh, wow.
And I was talking to him, and I said, what's the most unexpected thing that you were trained? And he goes, they said if there's a group of terrorists or somebody that we're supposed to go in and fight, he goes, if there's a woman in that group, we should get her first. Because if she's a woman that managed to get into that group, she had to work 10 times harder. She had to be 10 times crazier. She's a badass.
Oh, I
so
agree.
You better take her out first because she's used to doing what it takes to get where she needs to be. But I'll tell you, it's such a pleasure meeting you. And everything you've got, you've earned. And I think you're a credit, not just to women's wrestling, but to wrestling overall. And I wish you nothing but the best. And
thank
you so much. And it was a pleasure watching you and Rachel. I'm sure Rachel's going to be feeling the effects of it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And when we talk about this on Tuesday, Rachel's one of the hosts of the show. I mean, I could see, you know, it's so wonderful when there's people who can teach and people who will listen and learn. That's the only way this thing is going to keep going and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. Anybody you want to say hello to before we get off the air?
Not necessarily, but you can reach me on my, I'm on Twitter, it's at Lefisto, Facebook, it's facebook.com/Lefisto, it's my fan page. I try to answer everybody. Or you can see my website, Lefisto.com, see all the dates, and I'm always at the merch table, and I'm hanging around, I go see the fans, and come say hi.
Oh, come say hi, and come talk to this woman, and come see her in action. You will be glad you did. Lefisto, here's to a great 2015.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we had something to prove, and I think that's how these guys are now. They got something to prove that they're just not, you know, they're not the cookie-cutter type wrestler. You know, they're going to be two bad motherfuckers. And we were the bad motherfuckers, and if we can ever get it hooked up, there'll be four bad motherfuckers out there beating the shit out of each other. And I'm down with that. I'm down for a fight.
Reverend Dan, how does that match appeal to you? Like when you hear about that potential matchup, what do you think?
I see dollar signs. I think it's a big match that a lot of people would like to see. I've only been across the ring from Jeter one time, and that was in a tag team situation at Anarchy, where Strychnine and Azrael won the titles in a three-way. At the season's beatings last year, but just to see, I've always been a fan of his from afar, and I've watched him and been on cards with him for a long time, but to actually see Jeter in particular up close and just how impressive of a specimen he is an anomaly. He's got a unique size and body type and style that is not, like Tank said, it's not cookie cutter. It's something totally unique, and it brings a certain appeal to the match in itself because he's an oddity in many ways. Not in that he's a special attraction who can do limited things, but he's this massive guy who can move around, and he's very reminiscent of Tank and Iceberg, but has his own unique spin on it. And, of course, with Brian Blaze, that was the only time I've ever got to interact with him as well. But he brought it as well, and they make a great tag team. They just have that chemistry, and that's one thing a lot of tag teams don't get today. You see many tag teams that are just two singles wrestlers out there wrestling two singles matches, and yeah. Then it somehow comes together as a tag team at the end. Jeter and Blaze are a true tag team. Tank and Iceberg are a true tag team. They have an internal connection, almost a psychic link to one another in terms of being able to anticipate what the next guy is going to do.
Well, one thing that I always think is interesting about Jeter that kind of got forgotten about, like at the beginning of the year, he wrestled Shane Marks in an Ironman match. Like they did a 60-minute match where Jeter at one point at the 15-minute mark dove out of the ring as Shane Marks. I always think about, like, that was – I remember Larry went to his first Southern Fried show, and I was so pissed. Like, I was like, damn it. Like, not enough people are seeing that. Like, and from all accounts, Rachel, you were there, correct, when he did
that?
I
was there.
What was Jeter like when he pulled off the – because it reminded me strangely of Iceberg in that – when I had met Iceberg, I don't even know if you remember this. This was like in, this was before there was a PCW. This was, we had done our first show in like Jefferson County, and Iceberg was there with Abdullah. You guys had shown up, and you and
right.
I had talked briefly, and I just remember one of the things, like I interviewed Iceberg, and one of the things that Iceberg said to me that really struck me and reminds me of Jeter is Iceberg is like, I can do things that a guy my size is not supposed to be able to do. I can do bumps. I can wrestle. And Iceberg was itching to show that. And I think Jeter got to have that moment where he showed, you know, I wrestled a 60-minute match and a good one against Shane Marks, who's so highly regarded. Rachel, what was Jeter's reaction when that match was finished and he came to the back?
Obviously, he had just wrestled 60 minutes, so there was definitely, you could tell that he had really given everything just, you know, by trying to think of the word, and it's just not coming to me. Right, there's definitely the accomplishments there, because, yeah, he did things, but I did not expect to see this man dive over the ropes onto Shane, you know. Jeter is one of those guys that he doesn't get to use it a lot, but really likes the, like, MMA-type stuff and throws it out when he can, but and that was all really great stuff, and I know that he was really proud of what he was able to not accomplish, but show that he could do to all the people that were there.
Yeah, I mean, I the more, I know we've talked a lot about Brian Blaze and Jeter, I think it's because just I'm always a booker at heart, always, and even just saying that match out loud of Tank and Iceberg against Brian and Jeter, Larry, I'm going to put you on the spot for something, and then I would love for our guests to actually help us out with our last segment called Is He High, which I think everybody on the phone is probably at least a mild expert at. Larry, I'm going to put you on the spot, Larry Goodman. If Brian Blaze and Jeter versus Tank and Iceberg was to happen, where's the proper forum? Is it PCW? Is it Empire? Is it Anarchy? Is it Christians Gone Wild? Where is the right spot for Tank and Iceberg against Brian and Jeter? And would you have anybody at ringside, be it Reverend Dan or whatnot?
I think for the level of brutality that could would probably, in realism, that probably be involved, I'd say the Anarchy Arena is the place.
Son of a bitch. Well, you know, Brian Blaze and Jeter, they're with me at Anarchy, and I'm sure Anarchy could certainly use the help. Reverend Dan, Tank and Iceberg, it has been an honor. What a great way to close out our series on tag teams. But as we close out the show, we have a new segment, which we tried last week at the disaster show, as we now call it, and so nobody heard it. So we are going to do it tonight. The name of the segment is He High?, where we listen to a promo. Tonight's promo, Larry, do you remember what the fella's name was being interviewed by Gordon Solie?
I certainly do. It's the great Ron Slinker.
Ron Slinker, Karate Man, explaining what a ninja is to Gordon Solie. So we're going to listen to this segment, and then each one of us to vote, is Ron Slinker high while he's cutting the promo? So let's go ahead and run this.
Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high.
It's time to play Is He High?
Talked about a fucking pound of weed and played a bunch of video games.
Weed is tight. Weed is tight. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Weed is awesome.
Speaking of the ninja, I want to take a couple of moments now to talk to a gentleman who is internationally known for his martial arts skills. I'm referring, of course, to Ron Slinker. And Ron, I wonder if you'd mind explaining to the people just exactly what is a ninja.
All right, Gordon, I don't mind doing that. First of all, I'd like to say I've been traveling throughout. Exactly where, I don't know, but I've been wrestling here about all over the country, and I'm back here for how long, I don't know. But you asked me to explain what a ninja is, okay? A ninja
If you know what an athlete is a fine-tuned individual who has several traits. First of all, he has an ability. Second of all, he has an endurance, okay, which is very, very, very important. And third is conditioning. When you get a ninja, a real ninja, such as this gentleman who's up in the ring, and I've seen him before, you're talking about a fine-tuned machine, not an athlete, but a machine. He works like a machine.
Ron, I understand, too, that you've got a chance to go up against the national champion. He's got to answer you within 30 days.
I don't know. You know, they say mind over matter. If you don't have no mind, it don't matter. Right now, my mind's somewhere else. I don't know. You know, I've got a lot of thoughts in my head of where I want to go and what I want to do. I understand I have a contract. We're just going to have to see. I've been training for it.
Well, okay.
Reverend Dan is Ron Flinker High.
As 10 kites on 15 strings, Pally.
Tank! This strong style psycho tank is Ron Flinker High?
Probably so. Either he's high or he is like the first shitbird ever in professional.
The Osberg. The Osberg. Iceberg. Ron Flinker. Is he high?
That motherfucker, if he's not high, he's suffering from Alzheimer's. God damn. This is a fucking abortion if I've ever heard one. Holy shit.
Larry Goodman. Larry Goodman, the venerable reporter of Georgia Wrestling. Ron Flinker, your expert opinion. Is he high?
In my expert opinion, I don't think so. I just think he's one of the worst fucking talkers ever.
Damn you, Larry, for being contrary. Miss Rachel, is he high?
You know, I don't know where he's been or how long he's been there, but that motherfucker's high.
And not that my vote is necessary because it is an absolute landslide. But I, Larry, that, Larry, you know what I'm scared of, Larry? If he wasn't high, would the interview actually somehow be worse? That's what terrifies me, is the thought of that man not high. Anyway, for Tank and Iceberg and Reverend Dan, thank you for being guests. Our guest next week, hopefully, hasn't been confirmed, but Joel Goodart of Tri-State Wrestling fame has agreed to come on Tipping Point. Oh, my God. You're not going to want to miss that. But for Larry Goodman, Miss Rachel, and myself, Stephen Platinum, and Tank Iceberg and Reverend Dan, we will say good night and see you next week from the Tipping Point. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was great.
I was late because I didn't know what I was wrong with.
A production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network.
See, this is why I thought they'd be good against the Bullet, because Trey will be late, Iceberg will be late, and
I'll be fine. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
I can't believe Larry could somehow explain away that that guy wasn't high. That's amazing.
Ron, that's my new favorite guy ever.
Ron Flinker. I think I just became a Ron Flinker guy.
Oh, my God, I'm a Ron Flinker guy.
I got to be competing in a second judo jacket match.
Oh, my God. Oh, we're keeping that segment. Oh, my God. That might have made the best of. That was amazing.
God.
Well, thank you again, you guys. That was phenomenal. Yeah,
thank you for having us, man. I'm out.
Thanks.
Y'all have a good one.
You too.
All right.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast.
production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.